Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
I'm going to talk to you about why we give. That's kind of the heading on all these verses I'm going to show you is why we give. We're just going to remind ourselves, some of you who know these things, we're going to remind you. Some of you who never heard it, we're going to announce it today. This is why we give. Number one is that we're never more like God than when we give. People say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like God. What does God want in my life? You're never more like God than when you give. John 3, verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he what? He, come on, shout it out. That he what? He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, God did not say to the world, I love you guys. I really love you guys. I love you guys so much. Hope you know how much I love you guys. He didn't just talk about it. He gave. Somebody shout gave. He got behind it with his giving, and he gave his only son. Ephesians chapter 5 reads like this. It tells us Christ loved the church, and he gave himself. He did what? He gave. I want you to shout it out. Jesus did what? He gave. He gave himself for the church. So you're never more like God than when you give. Now, you may not have ever thought about this before, but here we are. We are the church of 2017. We are God's great church, and we've endured much throughout history. We've come through all kinds of opposition and adversity, and people have given their lives so that you and I could be here today, literally martyred for the cause of Christ. But we have been a part of something bigger than ourselves, and we are recipients today of what happened that day when Jesus started it all, and he said that I'm going to give myself for the dream, the sand and the stars of something called the church. And then he announced it one day, and he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Christ loved the church. He's building his church. And there's nothing that we can do that is in more partnership and alignment with Christ than loving and building the house of God. So you're never more like God than when you give. Second thing is that giving is the seed that creates a harvest of blessing in your life. We give because giving is like a seed. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given to you. Like, give and it shall be given. And then it goes on and elaborates on it. If you know that verse, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Well, how does that all happen? It starts with giving. It starts with giving. Now, maybe you never noticed about the verse. I left out the last line because I wanted to draw your attention to it. But it says, shall men give into your life? And I want to tell you that because I think sometimes we don't identify that the blessings that are coming are actually coming from God through men. And the promise here is that give, and it will come back into your life, and men will give. Men will promote you. Men will bless you. Men will open up doors of opportunity for you. Just don't forget that when men are doing that, it all comes back to you in good measure because you started all by sowing seeds of generosity in your life. So we give because we know that's like a seed that produces a harvest. Another verse says it like this, 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. So it's using the verbiage of a farmer who sows a seed, and it literally says here that when you sow in a generous way, there's a harvest. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. If you're a giver today and you're giving into good soil, you can expect to experience a harvest of blessing in your life. A lot of people think it's noble, and I hear some people say, well, I give, but I don't expect anything in return. I wonder, like, why? Like, why? Like, I don't give that way, and I would suggest you not give that way. And here's why. But do you really think Jesus would have said the things he said? Do you really think the Bible would make the promises that it makes if it didn't want us, if God didn't want us to give with an expectation of a harvest in our lives? I don't think so. Come on, he's not here to tease you. He's not teasing you by saying, hey, if you sow generously, you reap generously. Given, it will be given to you. He's not kind of, you know, just teasing you and say, I didn't really mean it. No, he wants you to give expecting that you're going to receive back a generous, bountiful blessing in your life. Proverbs 11 and 24, I love this one. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And the world of the stingy, it just shrinks. It keeps on going down, you know, no matter, it does, you know, whatever economic class you're in. I just love this verse because you've known people who were real stingy with what they had, right? And you can watch their world just kind of closes in on them. Like, they pretty soon they don't have no friend, they don't have no life. They're just like, every nerve is worried about, I don't know if I'm what I'm going to do. And their world gets smaller and smaller. But the world of the generous gets larger. Anybody want a big life? Anybody want to live a large life? Another reason that we give today is because generosity inspires generosity. So the Apostle Paul, I want to show you this scripture. He proclaimed generosity, hear me out, of one church to stir the generosity of another church. It's in 2 Corinthians 9, and he says this. Look at it, if you would. He says, I know your eagerness to help. And I've been boasting about you to the other church. And I've been telling them that since last year that you guys were ready to give, and your enthusiasm, guess what? Your enthusiasm is actually stirred them to action. So I want to give you a, what can I call this? We'll call it a learning moment. I want to like hit the pause button for some of you who have just thought this to be true. And I'm going to give you like a little shock treatment maybe if this is what you thought was true. Are you ready for this? No, you're really ready for this. Because some of you, you're going to, like, your head's going to spin when I say this. I promise, this is not what you think is true. This is true. The Bible doesn't teach secret giving. I wanted to rest there for a minute. Are y'all okay? A lot of people think it does. And some of you right now, you're going, well, I know where it says this. Doesn't the Bible say that? And you're going there because you've always thought that the Bible teaches secret giving. But the one you're talking about is in, if you know your Bible, it's in the same chapter where Jesus talks about public worship and public giving. Jesus taught about the wrong motives that some people have in public worship and giving. And oftentimes, what we don't realize is that Jesus, we're all gathered together in public. We wouldn't think twice about public worship, worshiping in front of other people, praying in front of other people. But a lot of people have thought that you're not supposed to give, you know, openly, which is what we do as a church. And this is fun right now because I love getting into little theological quirks that people have sometimes. And you can certainly give anonymously. We respect that. That's not what I'm talking about. I just want to set you free from religious stuff and baggage sometimes to where you realize that our giving, here's my prayer, that our giving as a church, the numbers go up on the screen. We celebrate it all. We do it really openly. And one of the things that I'm praying for is that our giving inspires other churches. And it sends a message for them to think big and believe big. Come on. And to give big. I hope it sends a message around the nation, but here in the Northwest, I hope it just inspires other churches to say, did you hear what Champion Center does? Did you know those guys give? Like the numbers go up on the screen. We ought to do that in our church. We ought to start thinking about expansion. We ought to think about growing. We ought to say, you know what? We're not doing enough. We can do more for the cause of the kingdom. If they can do it, we can do it. That's what I hope happens, is that our generosity inspires generosity. Amen? Another reason as to why we give is we give to see every generation of God's church be stronger and greater. You know, there's nothing we can do that is better than investing in future generations. God's plan for His church is that it would get stronger in every generation. To be the light, to be the salt, to be the hope, to baptize, to teach, to make disciples of all nations. But if every generation of God's church has to start over, then you're not going to create any traction from one generation to another. So I've asked our church in the past, I've said, I hope when you drive by churches now that were once buzzing with activity, and now they're empty, and they're run down, and they're out of money, and nobody goes. Cathedrals in our cities, I hope that from now on, when you drive past them, something inside of you will rise up and you'll say, not in our house, not in my church. It only happens because the generation that was alive, that built the cathedral, that built the church, that was the lid on their vision. They didn't think ahead. They didn't think about their children and their children's children. But with God's help at Champion Center, it's not going to be that way. We're going to think with big vision. Come on. We're going to give to the future. We're going to raise up a generation of warriors. Somebody just said to me as we were worshiping today, they leaned over to me and said, look around the house, all of the young people that got their arms up worshiping God. You know what? Beyond that, a lot of the young people, not all of them, but a lot of the young people that are part of our house, they're on our platform, they're going to run up and down the aisles today. A lot of them, I knew them since they were babies. I dedicated them to the Lord. And now I'm watching them as they grow up in the house of God, as young men, young women, serving God. Oh, man, come on, we can do it. And we are doing it. So this year's offering goes to five areas. They're going to put it up on the screen. You can see the five areas where our offering is going. We call it our sand and stars. But it's the, you see the foundation we give to help people in our city who need help. But think three is what I'm talking about. It's young people and church kids. We got new shirts that proudly proclaim, I'm a church kid. And young people love to wear them, and kids are wearing them, and that's what we want. We want them to have a little bit of a strut going on, a little bit of swag going on. Like, and when they're around their friends, we don't want them to be ashamed. Like, we want them to go, yeah, I go to church. Yes, I do. You don't. You ought to. You're missing out. Like, that's what we want. We're raising up positive peer pressure, right? Maintaining our house. That's all about keeping the doorknobs on and keep, you know, we've put new flooring in from year to year. We put new parking lots in. We repave it. We've done all kinds of great things over the years. We maintain the house of God. We make it excellent. Media and technology. Today, we're in three locations going back and forth, and people are with us, joining us because of media, right? Our online campus. People are getting saved, joining our online campus. And it's growing. People are giving today at our online camp. That's why we have equipment, and that's why we have cameras, and that's why we have media. But the big deal this year is with God's help and your help, and by faith, we've already driven the stake in the ground. We will have a new campus in DuPont, Washington in 2018. Champion Center opening up a new campus. We're opening up a new campus, and we got new hats just in time because Fort Lewis is out there, and we're excited about all the people from Olympia and all the people that are coming from Steilacoom, and all the people coming from Lacey, and all the people coming from, if you're watching us right now, we're coming to a neighborhood near you, all right? We're coming to DuPont. But we have a lot of military in our church. And so they're all, are you guys excited? Like, really? I know you are. We celebrate you today. Celebrate you today. I like this because I'm breaking a barrier. I'm old school, which means when I was growing up, you couldn't wear your hat in church. But this generation, we got free of that. Maybe you're old school too. Maybe you need to break a barrier. Maybe you need to go buy a hat and actually wear it to church. Because there ain't nothing in the Bible that says don't wear a hat. Like, that just, you can still respect people and respect God. Sure, take your hat off if you want in key moments, but you can wear your hat and worship. So I'm doing it right now. I'm free. DuPont, here we come. DuPont, here we come. DuPont, here we come. Let's show a picture. Show a picture on the screen. That's our new campus. And the sign and the people are photoshopped in. That's our faith right there, right? That's our sand and stars. We photoshop that stuff in because we see happy people with their hands up just like that coming to church in our new location in DuPont. So I just want to remind you today that God wants to use you, and we've got the building, but literally we need hundreds of thousands of dollars to go in to that location. There's nothing on the inside. And so we need the resources and we need the finances to go in and to put in flooring and to put in walls and to put in sound systems and to put in video systems and screens and platforms and all that we do, children's classes, all of that. So help us, help us, help us. Let God use you to help us to expand the kingdom of God into a new location in 2018. We're going to give, and we are giving already this weekend to that cause. So we give to see lives change, and I'm asking right now for a team to join us. Pastors are going to join me in Bellevue. Pastors are going to join us here in Tacoma. And we're going to share. Is everybody good? Everybody excited? Because I want you to lean in, and we're going to share, and Pastor Ryan there in Bellevue is going to get it started. We're going to go right one right after the other. We're going to share stories of people's lives changed. We give to see lives changed.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to kick off one of the stories I want to share around just amazing life change that has happened in our church over the last several weeks. We just completed something called Financial Peace University, where literally we had 658 people in the life of our church complete Financial Peace University just a few weeks ago. I love it. Not even 10% of our church, but this is over 300 families represented in those 658 people. And check this out. Here's what happened in just 9 weeks of being in class. This started a whole cycle of momentum in people's hearts and lives. Debt paid off in that entire group was over $1 million. $1,002,287.
Come on.
Paid off in just 9 weeks. Check this out. That same group of people also saved $909,000 just in that 9 week period. And then lastly, they paid or cut up 513 credit cards in that same 9 week period, getting healthy financially to position their families for the future.
Hey, say, God's doing great things. Okay, how about this? Mario, he came to Champion Center in the beginning of April of 2016, and here's what he shared with us. He said, I was hurt, addicted, broken, depressed, and I was lost. My mom had passed away when I was 16 years old, and I think I've met my dad once. The only present brother in my life was in and out of prison and on and off drugs. Since coming to Champion Center, though, Mario has left his past behind, his addiction to alcohol and drugs. He's a part of our team. He's got a new job. And he met his wife, Melissa, here at church. And they got married last August.
I have a story of a single mom who attends our church, gave in her first legacy offering last year. And while she was a consistent tither, she was also on government assistance, had less than $1,000 saved, bad credit, and mounting legal bills. She saved $3,000 and gave it all to Legacy last year, filled with expectation and faith. And she made the commitment that day on May 1st, 2016, that she will always give more than the year before. So this year, 18 months later, she's off government assistance and debt-free. And this weekend, as she gives more than last year, her faith is being expanded because she knows one thing for sure, you can never outgive God.
Come on. This is one of our high school students here. Her name is Peyton. And she said, growing up, my whole family went to a strict Lutheran church that was very traditional and old-fashioned. She said she never felt a connection to church or God, and church felt like a chore. There were no opportunities for young people to get involved in. And in seventh grade, Peyton was diagnosed with severe depression and anxiety disorders, and her family grew apart from church. A year after the diagnosis and antidepressants is when all interest and hope was lost for her, and she became suicidal, in and out of the hospital because of pain pills. But she got invited to a youth night here at Champion Center, and she said, I fell in love with church and God all over again on that night. She found friends and purpose here and is now serving as a student leader. And she wrote this. She said, my favorite thing to do is to serve others and make a difference. I can honestly say I am a completely different person from that young girl. Even though I still have some struggles at times, I know a God that loves me, and I now have a church family that supports me along my journey.
So good.
Incredible.
So good.
I also have a story here. A gal named Tasha. She moved here from Ohio and knew nobody and did not have a church. And one of the first people she met invited her to our Bellevue campus. And one weekend, she struggled to get to church consistently. And so she started attending our online campus, actually. And then one weekend, she finally hit the volunteer online button. And then after she started giving back by helping and being on a team and felt included, she decided to give the Bellevue campus another shot. And so now her and her daughter and her husband are plugged in, serving on teams, and attending consistently at Bellevue campus.
Okay, JR and Katie, they have a crazy work schedule. Can anyone relate to crazy in your life? It's so crazy that it requires them to spend every other week in different cities. One up north and one down south. So they begin to wonder, how will we ever get planted in a church? How will our kids grow up in church with one of us one place and one of us another? But because we have a campus in Tacoma and a campus in Bellevue, they can attend either of the campuses and have the same experience regardless of which location they attend. So here's what they did. When it came to time for Financial Peace University, they attended the class together online, and they just celebrated paying off in just nine short weeks, $24,000 in debt. Way to go, JR and Katie.
That's awesome.
Hey, our final story we're going to share, and I hope we're all taking time to really connect the dots, the power of the local church, what Jesus does through his church in people's hearts and lives. These are stories, guys, just from these recent years, like this year alone, what God's doing in people's hearts and lives. And this last story is from Robert and Marcy. And 3 years ago, Robert and Marcy said they were on the brink of divorce. Marcy was actually trying to overcome what she called a lifelong struggle with alcohol and dealing with so much anxiety, she said, a lot of times she couldn't even get into a moving car. But all of that changed, Marcy said, when she started attending Celebrate Recovery at our Tacoma campus at Champion Center. Eventually, her husband, Robert, followed suit, and they both started attending weekend services. Now, they've gotten on teams, they've joined life groups, and they said their life has literally, like, flipped over and transformed. God is doing so many great things in their marriage, in their kids. They're not perfect, but literally their life is night and day difference, and their marriage is healthy and strong today because of what Jesus is doing through his church, through Champion Center. So let's give it up for all of these people in the life of our church.
Come on, let's celebrate change lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.